Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Helen and I have been married for 25 years, going into our 26th come July. And, you know, to this day, we are committed to one thing above all things, and that is to always focus on the positives within our relationship. To focus on the positive things that are going on in our life. Are there negative things going on? Always. Forever. There are issues that are going on in our life. They're external. Some of them are internal. Some of them are between us. But we refuse to focus on that because we believe that the power of Christ within us allows us to focus on the positives which produce the fruit of a great relationship. And that's what God's got in store for all of us. Do you know, we see in the Old Testament where God was trying to take his children out of Egypt and into a promised land, and they finally get to the threshold of the promised land. And God says, now listen, I want you to go in and spy out the land. And so 12 spies went out. 10 of them came back and they gave this report to Moses in Numbers 13. This was their report to Moses. It says, we entered the land that you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country. It's a land that's flowing with milk and honey, and here is the kind of fruit that it produces. So here they are. Guys, look at the fruit. You know, the Bible tells us that the fruit of the land was so bountiful that it took two people with a pole between them to carry one cluster of grapes. That's how big the grapes were. Everything was flourishing in that land. And as these guys are eating grapes, they then go on to make the next statement. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large, and they're fortified, and we even saw the giants there. What are they doing? What are they doing here? Although they are describing the positives and they're actually eating the grapes, they then decide to focus on the giant. Instead of focusing on the positives, they began to focus on the negative. What was the result of that? Instead of them living their dream, they lived in a desert. That's the result of focusing on the negative rather than the positive. Can you understand why Pastor Richard wants to preach to this amazing church and tell you, listen, don't have a desert marriage, have a dream marriage. Don't have a desert friendship, have a dream friendship. How do you do that? Steer clear from the negatives, friends, and decide and make a commitment that we're going to be people that will always focus on the positives. Give the Lord a huge round of applause. Come on. Let's make a commitment. How do you build a church like Lifehouse? And there's many great churches in our country and around the world. I believe our church is one of those great churches. How do you do that? We don't sit around focusing on the negatives all day. We just refuse to do that. We focus on any positives that we can find, even if it's a small flame, and we sit there and we go, look at what's going on there. Even though there's a raging fire over here, we just look at that small flame and we begin to, and we fan the flame of positivity. All of a sudden, that flame consumes that flame. That's just what we have decided to do. Hey, listen, in your relationships, make a decision. You're going to focus on the positives. Smile at the person beside you and say, focus on the positives. Come on, smile at them. Yeah, smile at them big. Give them a big smile. Hey, watch this. Watch this. The Word of God's got so much for us to see. Can I teach you a little bit this morning? Okay, watch this. Genesis chapter 30, verses 37 to 39. Let me just give you some background. Jacob is working for his father-in-law, Laban. He was a shepherd. Jacob wanted to go his own way. And so he said, let's do a deal. I'll take all the speckled and spotted sheep, which there weren't many of, and you can have all the normal sheep, Laban. And Laban goes, great idea. Now have a look at what Jacob does next. Then Jacob took some fresh branches from poplar almond and plane trees, and he peeled off strips of bark, making white streaks on them. Are you understanding what he's doing? He's got a piece of bark, and he's taking off some of the bark so that it starts to look streaked. Then he placed these peeled branches into the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink, for that was where they mated. Okay, that's where things were reproduced. And when they mated in front of the white streaked branches, they gave birth to young that were streaked, speckled, and spotted. What is going on in that story? Jacob understood something. When sheep look at the streaked bark, whatever you focus on, you end up giving birth to. Whatever you focus on is what God will give you more of. So we've got to make a decision here. Jacob wanted some streaked sheep, so he let them focus on it. Friends, what are you focusing on right now? Are you focusing within your marriage on all the things that are wrong, all the things that aren't going well? Because if you do that, you will reproduce more of that. Stop what we're doing there. Why don't we focus on what is going well, the things that are going forward, the things that do bring you pleasure in your life, and you will find that God will reproduce that over and over and over and over and over again. Amen? I love this because the Word of God is showing us how we can have awesome friendships and marriages. Remember, this is a relationship series. It's not just about marriage. Come on, some of us are concentrating way too hard on the negatives of our friends. Hey, listen, I've got news for you. Your friends have got issues. If you're looking for the perfect friend, you'll never have a friend in life. Your friends have got, we've decided half our friends are crazy, and they'll all say amen themselves because they know we're crazy too. But my friends have got some awesome, beautiful characteristics that we focus in on. Do you know, my friends are loyal. They're loyal. I love that about my friendships. But you know, they do some silly things and they might talk a bit silly sometimes. If I focus on that, I won't have a friend in the world. Come on, let's make a decision. We're going to focus in on the positives. Is anyone getting something out of this? Come on. Jesus. I love this message. This is one of my life messages. Jesus wanted to create a miracle one day and he didn't have much to work with. And he wanted to feed a crowd, and he said, now listen, guys, I want to feed these people. Bring me something. You know, for Jesus to do a miracle, you've got to bring him something. Bring him something. And so they brought him 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then the Bible says that Jesus took the bread, and what did he do? The Bible says he looked up and gave thanks. And then what happened? We all know that the bread multiplied. He got more of what he was thankful for. I'm preaching a whole lot better than what you're amening out there. Jesus got more of what he was thankful for. You know what? Instead of complaining, why don't we look at our partner? Why don't we look at our friend and tell them what we love about them? Be thankful for what is in them, because you'll find that it will come out more and more and more. And next thing you know, you've got a lifelong friendship. You've got a lifelong marriage. You've got a lifelong relationship with your children as we decide to be popular. As I'm messing up the place. Amen? I get excited, guys. Come on, I get excited about this stuff. Do you remember Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve, remember them? Yeah. Messed up the place. Remember those guys? Yeah. Adam and Eve, God says to them, Adam and Eve, you may freely eat of every tree in the garden. You know when God says every, he means every. And then God says, except for one tree. How many? One tree, he says, that you cannot have is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Every one. What tree do they concentrate on? The one that they can't have. And you know what's amazing to me? Is that you can be in a relationship where your partner has got so much going on in their life, so many wonderful attributes, so many beautiful things that other people would die for, but they've got one or two things that they haven't got in their life. And what do we concentrate on? The one thing that they don't have. The one thing that they don't have. We're like, ah! She doesn't cook. Yeah, but she's really good at doing a whole lot of other stuff. Amen? Come on, you know, before you get married, listen to me, singles, just listen for a moment. Before you get married, do life with your eyes wide open. Keep your eyes wide open. Resist the love is blind syndrome. Resist it. Look at the person you're about to marry. Are there any deal breakers there? Are there any things that would be a deal breaker for you in a few years but you're hoping will change as you get married? Don't do that. When you marry someone, before you get married, keep your eyes wide open. But listen, once you marry them, close your eyes. Close your eyes, because it's not much good keeping your eyes open now. Amen? You made a contract before God and man. Now it's time to close our eyes. What was the result of Adam and Eve eating from the one tree they shouldn't eat from? Their eyes opened. Was it a good thing for them that their eyes opened? No. The Bible says all they saw was their nakedness and it brought shame. Do you know, when you're in a relationship and your eyes are wide open, looking at everything, all it does is it shows you how terrible things are, how bad things are. You start to feel ashamed of your relationship. You start to think your relationship is second class. And God would say, when did I tell you to open your eyes in your relationship? The day you said, I do, you go, I do. Amen? Come on, we're in this forever now. And we're going to make it work. Amen? Let's close our eyes. You know, there's a great story about this in Genesis 9. I'm going to give you a whole lot of scriptures today. Is that okay? Yeah? How about those of you in the back? Are we alive in the back there? Yeah, amen. Great. Okay. Genesis 9. Noah gets off the ark. He plants a vineyard, finds himself getting drunk because the world's a bit different now after the flood. It says, Noah, a man of the soil, proceeded to plant a vineyard. And when he drank some of his wine, he became drunk and he lay uncovered inside his tent. Have you got the picture? I don't want that picture in my head. Because the Bible says he was about 600 years old. You know me? Noah, there, naked. He's got his Shiraz there. Poor Noah. So he's drunk, right? It says, but Ham, verse 22, Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his father's nakedness and he told his two brothers outside of him. What's going on here? Ham saw something that wasn't right and he went on and told other people about it. His mates. His friends, the guys at work, Instagram, Facebook. I don't know who he was talking to. In this case, he was talking to his two brothers. Hey, listen, if you can see nakedness, it's not a smart thing to go telling the whole world about your partner's nakedness. It's not a great thing to be talking to everybody about the things that are going on in your partner. Now, listen, do we need some friends to talk to? Absolutely. I don't think that's what Ham was doing. He was mocking. He was pulling down. He was pulling down. Now, listen, we need to be more like the other two. Listen to what they did. But Shem and Japheth, they took a garment and they laid it across their shoulders. And what did they do? Then they walked in backwards. They walked in backwards. Why? Because it's like, we know Dad's naked. We've heard that. But we refuse to look at that. I don't want to look at the negatives of my dad. I don't want to see the terrible things that he's up to right now. I'm going to walk him backwards. And the Bible says that they covered their father's nakedness. Let me tell you what needs to happen in our church a whole lot more. A lot more people need to be walking around backwards in this place. In the spiritual realm, I should be seeing a whole lot of people doing this. G'day, Pastor Richard. How you doing, mate? Yeah, I'm so glad I came to church today. That's fantastic. Yeah, we'll be going out with each other. Come on, if you want your marriage to go forward, start walking backwards. Yeah, there should be a whole lot of clapping going on right now. You want things to go forward? Start walking backwards. In other words, there's going to be some things that you need to close your eye to now if we want to see this thing work. That's what they did. You know, the Bible tells us that Ham was cursed because of what he did and these two boys were blessed. Friends, that's the result of focusing on the negative. It just brings a curse into your relationship. What do I mean by curse? It's just darkness and it's not going to end up in a great place. Come on, make a decision. We're going to focus in on the positive. Is anyone else with me out there? Yeah. As a pastor, I will counsel people sometimes. I don't do much of that these days. I've got a whole team that does that now, and they're actually better than me, to be quite honest. because they're very experienced people. But when I used to counsel people, I tell you what half my job was, trying to get couples to close their eyes. Just, hey, come on, you've got to learn to overlook that. Because when I heard about the positives, it was like it was so outweighing. The positives were there. You know that beautiful song, Amazing Grace? We've got to learn to sing that song backwards. You know, like, I once was blind, but now I see. You know, if you're married, you've got to sing that thing backwards. It's, you know, what, God, now I see, but please make me blind. Please make me blind to the things that are annoying me, but I believe that you can do a miracle there. You know, sometimes a pastor will ring me. It happened 3 days ago. And he's a good friend. And he's like, hey, go on, great. And then he goes, so tell me, what are some of the negatives going on at your church? Now, how many of you know in every church there are some negatives going on? Right? But I've got to be honest with you, I felt like a little bit of a super spiro hypocrite when I wasn't able to then list a whole lot of things that are not going right at our church. Why? Because I don't focus on that. I'm not sitting around thinking about all the negatives and he didn't come and she didn't go there and he didn't sign up and I'm not worried. I'm just so thankful for that you're here today. I just love you guys. You're a bunch of worshiping, God-fearing, beautiful people. I just love you. And he expected me to sort of list a whole lot of negatives, and I just went, because that's just not where I live. When we go away on staff retreat, we're not sitting around talking badly, but it's like, can you believe how many people are doing Growth Track? Can you believe, you know, the income of our church is just going through the roof. Why? Because people's hearts are connected. Are you hearing what I'm, and I just didn't have a whole list. Listen, if somebody walks up to you and says, how's your marriage going? Come on, tell me some of the negatives. Are you like, ooh, great, boom, 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 or are you like, because you've decided to focus on the positive. Come on, girls. Say, Cheryl, Sabrina, Sally. I'm just using a whole lot of names so no one feels challenged here, right? So what's going on in your relationship? What's some of the tough stuff? And you're like, whew, let me get my book out. Like, where do we start? Or is it, you know what? My husband's awesome. I can't complain. He's such a good guy. Yeah, everyone's gone quiet now. Yeah. Come on, make a decision. Make a decision the sort of people we're going to be. Amen. Caught up with someone recently. And I'm like, so how's your relationship going? And they're like, you know what? I've got to tell you, it's really frustrating. I'm going to be honest with you, it's almost done. What? Yeah, it's almost done. Why? Well, I'm going to be straight with you. When he brings the mail in, he leaves it on the bench. Yeah. He's been doing that for 15 years, Pastor Rich. Okay, yeah. Yeah, well, you know what? Where's the love in that? Where's the respect? Where's the honor? Where's the... And I'm like, hang on, can I just back up? Are you talking about the guy, is he a good provider? Oh, he's unbelievable. We own properties everywhere. Okay. Is he good with your kids? Oh, he's the best dad ever. Is he a good husband to you? He's a great lover. Okay, I don't want to hear that necessarily. All right, that's great, because that's what he tells us too, but, you know, go easy on that. Anyway, this whole list comes out of how good he is and how great he is and all these things that he does well. But Pastor Richard, he leaves the mail on the bench. And I think it's over. I'm glad you're laughing. Because right now you're concentrating on stuff that if someone else was to have that conversation with you, and if I was to ask you a whole lot of things that are going right for you, you would write out a whole list. But there are a couple of things. Why don't we just outweigh the negatives with the positive? And why don't we drown those negatives out with the great things that are going well, that are moving forward? Amen? Come on, you know what? I know, sometimes people talk like this. Sometimes I hear guys talk like this about their wives, and what they don't realize is that there'd be 30 guys that would be happy to take his place. Yep. Faults and all. And he's like, yeah, I'm not sure. Well, I'm like, well, you better be sure, because she's pretty awesome. Come on, let's make a decision. Do you know, I've noticed in my own life, when I focus on positives, by the way, I need a whole lot of amens in a moment. When I focus on positive things and the things that are going well in my life, I feel good. I feel like I'm winning. I feel like everything is so great and awesome and God is with me. When I focus on negative things, I feel like giving up. I feel like retiring. I feel like just calling it quits. Does anyone else feel like that? When I'm with the positive, it's like great. Isn't that obvious? If you concentrate over here, it's like, woo! Over here, So why do we camp here? Why do we camp there and look at all the negatives when God would say, come on, it's time to focus on the positives. Give someone a high five. Come on. How do we do this? It's quite simple. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. This is the answer. This is the answer. Can you read it out with me? 1, 2, 3. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and, come on, keep reading, and? Okay. See, I know why you're struggling to read it, because it's the absolute truth, but we find ourselves not doing it. Tell God what you need and thank Him. Listen to what it's saying. You know those negatives that are going on in your life? You can ask God about those things. You can talk to God about them. But as you're doing that, make sure you're thanking Him for all the wonderful things that are going well. Don't just present all your negative needs to God and never thank Him for all the things that He's done over the years, all the blessing that He has brought into your life. As you're presenting your need to God, then also present your thanksgiving. Now listen, we're not done yet. It says, verse 7, it says, then. When? Then. When? But when is it then? It's then when you have given thanks. In other words, you can expect this after you've given thanks. Here it goes. Then you will experience God's peace. And which exceeds anything that you can understand. And then it says His peace is going to guard your heart and your mind as you live in Christ Jesus. Come on, guys. There it is. You and I, we both need our heart to be guarded in regards to our relationship. Why? Because the Bible says, guard your heart, because if you don't, it will determine the course of your life. It will determine the course of your relationship. You've got to keep a good heart. How do you keep a good heart? Be thankful. Be thankful. Can I tell you who the queen of this is for me? My example was my mum. Some of you knew my mum, and I know that you love her as much as I do. Honestly, I know that you knew her. My mum, her marriage in the beginning was terrible. It came good in the end. It was a beautiful marriage at the end. But there was a season where it was terrible. And when I was 8 or 9 years old, my parents had this big fight. And my dad, I mean, I'm talking violent. My dad slams the door and he gets into his car and drives off. I'm thinking I'm never going to see him again. And I'm sitting there next to my mum. And I know that my dad did the wrong thing at that time. And I sat down with my mum. And she had tears streaming down her face. And I'm expecting her to just start telling me a whole lot of things about how bad he is and how all the things that he's done that are wrong. And she had every right to do so, to be honest. And she sat me down in our lounge room in Tullamarine. And she says, at least he no drink. And she's absolutely right. My dad never used to get drunk. Wouldn't drink. But I was a bit shocked. I'm expecting the rant. And then she goes, and you know, he no gamble. I'm thinking, it's true, my dad doesn't gamble either. What's she doing? She wasn't doing that for my sake. She was doing that for her own sake. What she was doing was actually being thankful. And she went on for the next 20 minutes telling me how wonderful my dad was. Do you know, my parents stayed together until the day they died. I'm not going to credit my dad with that. I'm not. I'm going to credit my mum. You know, sometimes all it takes is one person in the relationship to decide, I am not going to focus on the negatives. I'm going to focus on the positive and speak about them and be thankful over and over and over and over again. Come on, make a decision. I'm just imagining a church that does that. Come on, parents. Your kids are pretty awesome. They're studying. They're saving. They're driving safely, they're looking after themselves. Come on, parents, some of your kids are in that zone. Yeah, but their room is dirty. Yeah, Yeah. Come on. Yeah, come on. You've got awesome kids. They're awesome. They want to come to church. They want to be here. They're going for God. Yes, they've got a dirty room. Is that the biggest thing going on in your life right now? Do you know what the honest truth is? You know, this is proven that when a tragedy takes place with a child, do you know what the parents often do? Is keep the room exactly as it was. Why? Because now they're trying to just take some of the memories out of the dirty room. Isn't that funny what you value and what you don't value? Come on, let's not get caught up. Yeah, every parent's just put their head down a little bit. Okay, that's okay. I'm with you on that. But Hannah and I, we have decided that our kids are awesome. And that's not pride. Every parent should talk like that. My kids are awesome. Are they perfect? No. Are there many things that I hope and wish change for their own lives? Yes. Am I going to concentrate on those things? No. I'm going to live over here and tell my kids that I love them, that I'm proud of them, that I think they're beautiful kids, and we're going to celebrate them, and we're going to see them go forward in Jesus' name. Yeah. Some of you go, oh, you don't know my kids, Pastor Rich. Is there anything that you can be thankful for? Anything? Come on. There are some things that we can be thankful for. And listen, we need to have the same spirit as Jesus. Do you remember Jesus says to Peter? He says, Peter, who do people say I am? And Peter goes, you are Jesus, the Son of God. And then Jesus says to him, and you are a denier. That's not what he said. He said, and you are Peter, which means rock. Did Jesus know that he was going to deny him in a few chapters' time? Yes. Did Jesus know that he was going to be chopping people's ears off in a minute? Yes. Did Jesus know that he was going to go out fishing and totally not preach the gospel? Yes. So why does Jesus call him a rock? Because Jesus focuses on the positive and not the negative of someone's life. That's just who he is. And some of you today need to meet that Jesus, because some of you are like, I really want to become a Christian, but I don't think God will accept me. Friends, there is a God in heaven, and he's going to walk toward you at the end of this service even, but he's going to walk toward you backwards. What do you mean by that? He's not interested in your faults. He's interested in your potential. He's interested in where you're going to end up. He's interested in all that God's going to make you and what you're going to become. That's the God that we serve, friends. He's an awesome God. He's very, very powerful. But we need to replicate what we are experiencing. So today, we're going to make a decision. We are going to focus on the positives. Friend, I want you to think of any relationship that you're in. Today, we're going to say, you know what? I know they've got this going on in their life, but I'm going to step away from that, and I'm going to fan the flame of their potential and the things that are going well in their life and in this relationship. Amen? Anyone else? Anyone else going to join me in that? Friends, that's how you do it. Helen and I, you know, you don't build a church like this by not believing in people. You know, we've got 26-year-old campus pastors leading a church of 1,000 people. There's 1,000 people at North, just at North. Why would you put a 26-year-old? Because I believe in people. But Dave's got some faults. Yeah, I know. So have I. I just refuse to always look at his faults. I'm going to look at the positive leadership gift on his life, the way he's moving forward. He's a young guy. It's the potential of our church. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We've got young worship leaders. Oh, what about us older people? Yeah, I believe in you too. Absolutely. What I'm saying is, as a church, I believe in all of you. What are you believing about the people sitting beside you? What are you believing about your own potential? Come on. Today is the day where we're going to focus. Why? Because we want to take on the dream, not the desert. Amen. We're going to take on the dream as we step into our potential. Come on, some of you business owners, you're letting negativity get into your ears about the economy and it's all going bad and it's all... Listen, you've got to be careful what you're listening to, because you'll end up in a desert and you'll make fear-based decisions rather than faith-based decisions. Don't do that, friend. Come on, God's on your side. You're going to move forward. Come on, we're going to do two things today. Number one is we're going to make a commitment to be positive, to see the positive. And number two, we're going to step toward the positive one. So maybe you're in this place today and you're thinking, I'd love to step toward Jesus. I would really love to step, but I've made so many mistakes. I know there are people, I've met you today. And you're like, I've made so many mistakes. There's no way a good God would accept me into his kingdom. Friend, he died on a cross so that he could accept you. He got rid of your negatives so that he could start the positive. He's already done it. So friend, just step toward him today and let him revolutionize your life.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven.